Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Minister Diane Adams, coming to you from the fair city of New Orleans. It is now the 8:30 hour. And as always, I like to express my gratitude to each and everyone that has taken time from their busy schedules to tune in, that we could fellowship in the Word of God, and that we can hear what God is saying to us through the Scriptures. As always, I want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity, because I realize that all opportunities to serve God comes from God. God is orchestrating and allowing us to do His perfect will. And I thank God for the opportunity, for allowing me to be with you on tonight. Our lesson is coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the second chapter. And I ask that you read the entire chapter so tonight you could get a clearer and a better understanding of what Paul was telling the Philippians. We're going to be in the second chapter. We're going to expound on the 5th through the 15th verse. And I really went up another one. So it's going to be the second chapter, the 4th verse through the 15th. As always, I play a song, and I think this song is very appropriate for tonight. And I'm asking that you be prayerful, and we can come back, go to the throne of grace, and then we could hear what God has to say to us. So as this song plays, be prayerful for our Bible study. Be prayerful for one another. And we'll come back and go to the throne of grace and get into our lesson for tonight.
You won't have a firm foundation.
And that was Yolanda Adams saying that Jesus is the only way. Do you believe it? Do you believe it on tonight? So now it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. I'm asking if anyone would like to pray. Please press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the author and the finisher of our faith, our Lord, our Master, the great I Am, the one who work all things out together for our good, the one who promised never to leave us nor forsake us, the one who sent his Son that we may live. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity on tonight. And I thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to be with me as I prepare to come before your people. And Holy Ghost, I ask that you would allow me to step out of the way and you have your way with this on tonight. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I realize, God, I'm just a servant, and I humbly come to your throne. But I come with a spirit of expectancy, expecting that illumination will flow expecting that your word won't be returned, expecting that your people be edified and Satan will be horrified and you will be glorified. All of this I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. And since I said the lesson before the song and then the prayer, more callers have called in. I pray that each and every one of you have your Bible, because this is Bible study. And if we was in school, in college, whatever, and taking any kind of class, you know, you would bring your book to that class. Well, I want you to know the Bible is our book for Bible study. And we all should have our Bibles. So the title of the lesson is, God is constantly working in us. We coming from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, the 4th through the 15th verse. As always, we do background. Because you see, the reason that I do background is to give you more Bible knowledge, that when you open certain books of the Bible, you can know a little bit about who wrote it, why they wrote it, and who they wrote it to. Because that could help you to understand what is being said. So tonight, I want you to know that Philippi was an important city in Rome. It was an area that if you looked it up, you would see that it's a part of modern Greece today. So, you know, knowing that, every time I look and I hear something about Greece, I think about Philippi. You see, the Philippians were the Christians living in the city of Philippi. If you notice, Paul wrote 13 epistles, and epistles is also letters. And you see that the letters, most of them is saying to the Galatians. Well, Galatia was the place that the Galatians live in. And Paul was writing to the people that had established the church. So on tonight, you know, they had the Thessalonians was in the city of Thessalonica. And the Thessalonians were the people. So when you see, like, the book of Philippi, you know that's the Christians in the church that was formed in the city of Philippi. You see, Paul had planted the church in Philippi during his second missionary journey. You see, Paul's ministry in Philippi was so successful that even when he left the city, the Philippians supported him, sending him monetary gifts at various times when he was in a financial need. You have to know, and I'm really going off the, well, I'm not going off the subject, but it's all in there. But the churches was formed. We live in what is called the church age, and we'll be in the church age until Jesus returns. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when all of the Jews had gathered in Jerusalem, and they received the Holy Ghost, and they heard the preaching, and they heard the teaching, and they believed, when they all went back to their different places they were living, they started churches. So that's how you have the church of Philippi and the church of Galatia and the church of Corinthians. You know, and all of these different churches was when they heard the word, believed the word, went back to where they was living and established the church. You see, this is the church that Jesus was talking about when he told Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Yes, often people tell me, well, Sister Diane, I don't have to go to church to be saved. No, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ established the church. And if Jesus thought it was necessary to establish the church for the Christians, then it must have a purpose. And we also know the place we go to worship is the church building, but we are the church. When the Bible talks about Jesus coming back for his church, he don't want the building off the corner. He don't want the building, the different places where people fellowship. He wants the people that fellowship there. We are the church. You see, Philippians, the book of Philippians, is a rejoicing book. The word joy and rejoice are found 18 times in Philippians. This is more than any other book its size. And Paul was writing to people he loved for their generosity and their love they showed towards him. You see, his word to the Christians in Philippi, they were heavy but caring, sad, yes, consoling, appreciative, but bittersweet. You see, from Paul's perspective, they could well have been his final words of advice and heartfelt thanks to his faithful friends. And you might say, why? You see, throughout his long ministry, Paul often suffered greatly. He was repeatedly whipped, beaten with a rod, and he was always hunted by assassins. He was in prison many times, and once he was even stoned and left for dead. That was the plan and the plot of man, but God turned it around. And he did not always handle the pressure well under these hardships. You see, at times, Paul, the great Paul, the most learned man of the New Testament, wrote 13 books out of 27 in the New Testament. But you see, at times, he was depressed. He was even despairing. You see, Paul describes his feelings as being defeated at times, of temporary losing hope because of the terrible conditions and circumstances he endured. So when you're talking about your hardship, just think about what Paul went through. Just think about it. We always feel like we have it so hard that everything is lining up against us. There's no way out. Just think about the people in the Bible who endured real persecution and suffering and many times were killed. You see, but Paul knew that life is never truly hopeless. That's why he said in his book, I press for the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. And then at another time he said, I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. You know, he knew that God was able to rescue us from any trouble. But I come to tell you tonight that he was also human. And with emotions. And he had weakness just like ours. And the truth is that sometime knowing and trusting God's sovereignty for the moment, sometime it's not enough to keep us from despair. It don't mean you love God less. You see, even Paul struggled. Even Paul wanted to give up. even Paul often felt abandoned. You see, Paul's epistle or letter to the Philippians has many great and wonderful truths to teach us about standing firm in our Christian faith and about living righteously before a holy God, even during times of suffering and distress. You see, as we submit ourselves to Paul's teaching, we will realize how utterly important it is to persevere. And we will be greatly encouraged to dedicate ourselves to this awesome task. And most importantly, as we succeed in our own perseverance by following Paul's advice and using the word of God, we will also do our best to help others to succeed as well, to persevere. You know, you may be a great perseverer, but are you sharing it with somebody else how to tell them how you got over? Are you giving the word to someone else how to hold on? Do you ever give a word of encouragement to someone when they're down? Because you see, if you begin to persevere and help others to persevere as well, we will bring glory and honor to our exalted Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our background tonight. You know, we see the books that they wrote and the knowledge that they have, but you have to realize they only human. And tonight that was about Paul. So now we're going into the lesson, and we're on Philippians, the second chapter. We're going to read the fourth verse, the fifth, and the sixth verse right now. And the scripture reads as follows. Let not every man own his own things. See, and that's why I had to go back to the fourth, because Paul was telling us something important. I posted the fifth verse, but I went up to the fourth when I began to study, because it said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So that's telling you, don't be just concerned about yourself. And then it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. You see, here we are being asked not to just be concerned only with our needs, which is very, very selfish. There's so many selfish people living a day, and they're only concerned about them and their household, them and the ones they love, only them who and those who love them. To God, all life matters. You see, but also being concerned with the needs of others. You see, these scriptures are letting us know that God allowed himself to be born of flesh, incarnated in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, You see, Jesus is fully man and fully God. And as our lesson titles say, God is always working for us. You see, way back when, God had a master plan in place before the foundation of the world. He knew that man would fall and would not be able to redeem themselves. You see, God became a man in order to save mankind. You see, to save mankind, a man was needed to become a total, once and for all, sacrifice for man. You see, in the Old Testament, they had the system of sacrificing the cows and the bulls, but that just wasn't enough. It could never work. God accepted it, but it couldn't take away the sins. And they had to sacrifice because their disobedience to the law, and it was 613, and nobody could do them all. So God came up with a master plan. So since he wanted to save mankind, the bulls and the goats wouldn't do it. He had to have a man to be sacrificed for mankind. So God himself allowed himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, but impregnated by the Holy Ghost, and came out incarnated as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus willingly said, "Here am I, send me." You know, this is the Jesus who possessed the very nature of God. And you see, to own the nature of God is to be God, and to be equal with the other personalities of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That's why they all one. So when somebody asks me, "What, Sister Diane, how could there be one?" I just use it like this. God the Father, the Creator, Jesus, the Son of God, who possessed the nature of God, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. All that's God, all in one. You see, Jesus knew who he was. He knew his dignity and that he was fully sovereign, which is a supreme ruler possessing supreme ultimate power. Jesus knew who he was. He was all that and much more, but he willingly gave up his heavenly position. You see, Jesus had an earthly ministry for 3 years, praying, teaching, and preaching, letting us know what we should do. But he also walked the earth to show us how we should do it. Jesus is our example of how to live. That's why some time ago they had a saying out, when you get ready to do something, you used to say, what would Jesus do? You see, Jesus emptied himself of his true reputation. And I looked at that, I said, wow. You know, a person's reputation is what they stand for, is what they are. Jesus, that scripture say, Jesus gave up his true reputation. He humbled himself and became a servant. And he became obedient to the will of his Father. He stayed obedient to his Father, even unto death, and even to the death on the cross, with all of the suffering, humiliation, and discord that was just done to him. He stayed faithful. And some of us can't even take somebody looking at us. But the scripture say it had this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he stayed faithful even to the death on the cross. And right now you might be saying, well, Sister Diane, why Jesus would give up his divine existence? You know, people with power would not want to give up an inch of their power, an inch of their money, an inch of their reputation. But Jesus gave up his divine existence with all its benefits and advantages. You see, Jesus was with the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And that's deep, y'all. But he gave it all up. Because his love for us, and he regarded our life more than his own. You see, Jesus is our example as to how we should live with one another and be obedient to the will of God. Y'all have to realize in the Bible many times, God is always telling us how to treat each other. Because a couple of weeks ago I said we're living in a land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. This is our testing ground. God want to know how you treat one another. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, and he summed it up in two, he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind, and love your neighbor like yourself. He summarized that 10 and 2, because if you love the God, if you love God the way you're supposed to, you wouldn't put no other God before him. And if you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you wouldn't go, you know, steal from him. You won't go with your neighbor's wife. Come on now. You wouldn't go around coveting everything somebody else has. You would honor your parents. So it is important for us to realize how God wants us to live with one another. You see, but Jesus had one agenda, which was to please his Father, and that should be our goal as well. We are asked to have an attitude of love, sharing, and caring for one another, which was also in the mind of Christ, our example. And when Jesus walked the earth in 3 years, that's what he showed us. He said, forgive one another. Be kind to one another. Love one another. He told us about helping each other. And if we look at 9, 10 and 11, it said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And verse 11 said, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is love, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, here we see how God responds to Jesus' sacrifice, how he responds to Jesus' suffering, how he responds to Jesus' willingness. What he did, he highly exalted him. You see, God has placed him in a place of honor and made his name above any name, more excellent than every name. But you have to really realize God honors people too. You see, God has also honored us with his grace and his mercy. The scriptures say that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, his grace gives us everything we don't deserve. What a mighty God we serve. And his mercy holds back the punishment that we do deserve. Now, I come to tell you tonight, that's love. Y'all could think about things in y'all life that you know. You know, sometimes some things in your life you could have been dead. Come on, y'all. You see, the name of Jesus is the only name that men can be saved by. Watch this. When we pray, we must ask in the name of Jesus. And in John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. You see, there's a lot of people who believe in God, the Muslims for one, Jehovah's Witness for one, I think the Mormons for another. They believe in God, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus is the true Son of God. They don't believe that they need a Savior. And if they do need a Savior, it's not going to be a scary boy. I'm talking about Jesus. But you see, the Word of God said, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, if we look at 1 John 2 and 23, he said, whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son has the Father also. What Jesus willingly did for mankind will cause every knee to bow, every tongue to confess, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that Jesus is Lord. And when that happens, God is going to get the glory. But I want to tell you tonight, every knee that bow and every tongue that confess will not be saved. So keep that in mind. But they will bow and they will confess when Jesus come back in his glory. There can't be no denying of who he is. Hallelujah. You see, we were all created to give God glory. Isaiah 47 and 3 said, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. This is God talking to the prophet Isaiah. He said, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, God said, I made him. You see, to give God the glory, we have to play a part. You know, just like the title of the lesson, God is always working for us because that's God's part. He decided to take on his hand. It's never predicated on how good we could be. It's not even predicated on how righteous we could be. It's not predicated on how much money you give. It is God working for us. And you see, when we come before him in the splendor of his beauty and his holiness, you see, when we come before it, it involves an agreement. Come on now. If you come to God right, you come in because you agree with what God has asked you to do, what God has said in his word, and what God has put in your heart. You come in agreements to say, I will be obedient, and I'm going to submit to you. And you have to keep rehearsing his characteristics and attributes in your mind. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. God will never leave me. You have to keep rehearsing it in your mind and meditate on it. So how we could become more Christ-like. I didn't say Christ. Christ-like. You see, this is what Paul means when he said in verse 5 that we read earlier. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And if we look at the last verses that we're going to study tonight, verse 12 through 15, and it say, wherefore, my beloved, remember this is a letter Paul wrote to the Philippians, but what he's telling them is also good for us today. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. And those who know me, this is one of my favorite verses. In verse 13 say, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasures." When I read that verse many, many, many years ago, it gave me encouragement. It gave me a sense of peace, knowing that God is working in me to will and to do his good pleasures. God knows what he wants from you, and he's working in you to get it. And then 14 say, "Do all things without mumbling and disputing." And 15 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world." You see, when some people are in church, they act one way in the presence of the saints, but another way when they leave the church house. But you see, Christians should always have godly character, which doing what is right, even when no one is looking. You see, when Paul speaks of fear and trembling, he's not asking believers to live a stressful conditions of nervousness or anxiety, being fearful, because God said he's not a God of fear. That would contradict his many exhortations to peace of mind, courage, and confidence in the God who authored our salvation. You see, the Greek verb render work, the word work out means to continually to work, to bring something to completion or flourishing. So when he say work out, he's saying to continue, to keep on doing it. Don't stop, because the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. You got to continue to hold on till you die or Jesus come back first. And you see, the word in this scripture is translated meaning reverence or respect. So when they say fear to God, they mean give him reverence and respect him for who he is. You see, in the word trembling can also refer to the shaking that we may be encountered because of our weakness. You know we weak. We make mistakes. We fall short. And yet we want to please God. So it causes us sometimes to be this, you know, to shake a little bit, wanting to please God at all costs. You see, this is a weakness of a higher purpose, one which brings us to the state of dependency on God. He allow you to have them weak emotions and weak feelings because you learn that you have to depend on him. That's why I told you, God is always working in us and for us. You see, obedience and submission to God with reverence and respect is our reasonable service. And if you do it, you're going to receive great joy. You see, if I just sum it up perfectly, it kind of says something like this: serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We work out our own salvation by going to the very source of salvation, the Word of God, wherein we renew our hearts and minds, coming into his presence with a spirit of reverence and awe. You got to realize, well, sometimes people think about salvation and they just think about eternal life and they just think about the life after this life. But I want to tell you tonight, the word salvation means to save. And God is saving us from danger seen and unseen daily. And God is is working it out for our good, and he's stopping them weapons that's going to be that's going to form against you and not let them profit. That's, you know, we working out our salvation as we study and learn more of him, as we share the word of God, and if we do what God has asked us to do. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was in jail, you didn't visit me. Come on, y'all. He said, you know, and the man said, when did I do all that to you? He said, what you do to the least of mine? God has given you gifts, talents, and resources. And when you use them all to the glory of God, that's how God gets the glory. And that's how you work out your salvation. Remember, we are being prepared for the laying of the living. You see, the working out your salvation is not so much your work as it is a note of encouragement. Keep on working. Keep on striving. Keep on pressing. Fall down, get up. Make a mistake. Somebody hurt you, forgive them. You see, it is God with working in you. And you see, so that your ministry and service cannot help us succeed. You see, God is producing in you both the will, which is the desire. God has given so many people the desire to do certain things, and yet they won't. That reminds me of the parable of the talents. He gave one five, he gave one two, and he gave one. The one with five made five more. He was working out his salvation, though. One who had two, he got two more. He was working. The one that had one, he set on it. So the one had five and the one had two, he said, servant, well done. And I don't know about you, but it is my goal. It is my desire that when this life for me is over and I get to see Jesus face to face and I pray, and I work out my salvation, that he will be able to say, my good and faithful servant, well done. Some people may not have even word about or think about that. That would be important to them. But I was just letting you know tonight what's important to me. But you see, God is producing in you both the will, which is a desire, and to do, which is to actually accomplish. So what this saying, God give you the desire to think, he give you the desire to do, and then he actually give you the provisions to accomplish it. His pleasure. God don't ask you to do nothing for him without providing what you need to do it. You have to remember, wherever God, he provides. He never asks you to do things that he didn't call you for. He never asks you to do things that he didn't equip you to be able to accomplish. And he never asks you to do things that he haven't gifted you for its completion. Because where God, he also provides. When God created you for his glory and pleasure, he provided a way for you to accomplish it. He said he's working and shaping and molding us into the intended purpose that he had for us before the foundation of the world. You have to cooperate, and you could see that the work is not so much predicated on you, but on God. You see, God has instilled everything he knew you would need to achieve his good pleasure. That's pretty cool. And he never set you up to fail. And since God is producing the willing and the doing of his good pleasure and perfect will, then there is no legitimate reason for mumbling, disputing, and quarreling among one another. It is also no legitimate reason for you not to do what God has asked you to do. And I'm not telling you about this great gift or this great purpose of understanding your purpose. God says show love to everybody. Jesus gave a commandment in Matthew 28 to go ye therefore into all nations. Share the word of God. You might not know, a lot, but you know something. He ain't going to hold you for what you don't know. He's going to hold you for what you know. And you're holding on to it. You always are only being taught that you may teach. You only hear that you could share. He's not going to hold you for what you haven't achieved or matured to have revelation on as far as the word of God. He's only going to hold you for what you know, and yet you won't share it. And that's a fact. You see, we live in a crooked and perverted world, but God is always working in us with the aid of the Holy Ghost. Now look at God give you himself. Then he turned around and sent his son. And when his son left to go sit back at the right hand of the Father, he said, I ain't going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to be your comforter, your guide, your teacher. And Jesus said, everything that I would do for you if I was still here, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to do it. Now, what more do you need? Or what more do you want? They say, and if we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, we will shine as light in a world full of darkness. The Bible tells us, let our light so shine. If our light was shining as bright as God intended for them to shine, we could bring light in dark places. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, God had set it up that the Christians could transform the non-Christians. But, you know, be not conformed to this world. For us not to be taken in and be like the world. But what happened to the us transforming the world, we are conforming to the world day by day. So as I close tonight, I just want you to know that we all have sinned and deserve God's judgment. God the Father sent his son to satisfy that judgment. Come on, y'all. For those who believe in him and Jesus, the creator and eternal son of God, who lived a sinless life, loved us so much that he died for our sins, and then taking the punishment that we deserve, he was buried and rose from the dead according to the Bible. So God gave us all his riches at Christ's expense. And Christ willingly gave up all his heavenly position for us. And I just want to ask you tonight, what should we, and I always say we, not you, what should we do for them? And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to expound on the lesson, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to give encouragement, you can press the 1 button at this time. Caller, your number is 504-235-88. Your mic is open.
Father, Lord Jesus, I just want to ask you to forgive us our filthy sins and iniquities in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Jesus is love. Love is for free. It don't cost a penny. It was chained to set the time. It's like that song says, Jesus is love. He's love. He's love forever in our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Sister Adams. She's very inspiring to me, and she's going to help me get near the cross, man. So I know she is, because you show me every day is a feeling in my heart that I know that I know. And I thank you for in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Thank you, and have a blessed one, everyone.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bookman, for sharing with us and pressing the 1 button and giving us a song. I pray that God continue to work in you to will and to do his good pleasures. But remember, we have to cooperate. And you be blessed.
You so, sister.
Thank you. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone at this time. Well, since no one has anything to say, this is going to close our lesson for tonight, and I'm going to do a benediction. And I'm going to come from you from the book of 2 Peter, which I always do. And it is my desire, as it was Peter's desire, that we all grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the more we learn who God is, the more we know who we are. We have to be about our Father's business. Remember, we are being prepared for the land of the living. That's our lesson tonight. God be with you until we meet again. And may God bless and keep each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen and thank God. If God says the same, and if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. Go out and tell someone about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you so that God can get the glory. Good night and be blessed.